Pastor Varun and Pastor Donna Hopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Father, we thank you for all these testimonies. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. We know, Lord, after this camp at Warm Beach, our church have gone up to the next level, individually and corporately. Lord, that we go up to the next level of glory, of next level of revelation and understanding. Father, we are looking forward to the year to come, looking forward to see the plan of God fulfilled in our life. Father, we want to honor you. We love you so much. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Before I preach the word in a limited time here, I would like to exhort some people in this room. The Lord kept speaking to me one thing, and he asked me to share with you. I want to thank God for our members. I noticed that our members are very extraordinary people, very loving, very dedicated people, very good people. I'm so blessed by having such good people in this church. Love God and dedicated to God, want to serve God. But the Lord asked me to remind you one thing. God said that it's one thing about wanting to serve, wanting to do the best for God. You know, some of you may be called to be a worshiper or singer. Some of you may be called to be teacher. And you kind of, I want to be a great teacher. I want to be a great musician and worshiper. I want to be a great care group leader. But the Lord wants to remind all of you that all these things that you are doing for God in the ministry must be birthed out from two things. Number one, your personal relationship with God. If you just keep serving God and try to improve your ministry without relationship with God, you miss it. So your primary responsibility, your primary goal in your life is to really know God and have a deep relationship with Him. The reason I teach about the honor of God, because this is one of the aspects, is to have relationship with God, to honor Him and love Him and fear Him. If your life of ministry come out from that relationship, that deep and intimate relationship, it will produce so much fruit through you. But if you do out of duty, out of talent and ability, and out of your just own passion and your desire, then it will not produce much fruit. And you're going to struggle and struggle and struggle. So again, the first thing you need to do is to really go back to ABC. To have a relationship with God. You need to spend time with God, love God, read the Bible, listen to teaching, repent, change, hungry for God, honor God, come out to the prayer line, get touched and filled by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one who's going to help you to know the Father and the Son. That's one thing. The second thing, that the second foundation in your ministry is the foundation of, you notice the cross has two lines here. Like this, and like this. This is relationship with the Father, with Jesus, and with the Holy Spirit. And this one is relationship with brother and sister around you. The ministry will be just a work of the flesh, will be just in vain, if you don't build relationship with other fellow workers and with the lost. The ministry must be based on the relationship with God and with man. You need to really grow in relationship with man, with other people. Love people, honor people, give to people, pray for them, love them, don't criticize anybody, don't judge anybody. You need to have that in you to have the fruitful and long-lasting ministry. And the ministry that will produce eternal fruit because of your relationship with God and your relationship with other people. Amen. God kept telling me to tell all of you this. Because sometimes we are work-oriented people. We want to work, 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 work. And we forget about being married. to sit at the feet of Jesus and spend time with God and spend time with other people. Amen. Everyone agree? Amen. In the camp, we learn about honorable qualities. God is the most honorable person. He is the honorable king. He's the best example for all of us. And at the same time, the Bible talking about in a great house, there are vessels of honor and there are vessels of dishonor. Chinaware or trash cans. God said that some Christians choose to be trash cans. And some Christians choose to be chinaware or gold and silver. And I pray that our brothers and sisters in this church choose to be honorable vessels. So we learn about honorable qualities that we want to build up in our life to be honorable vessels. And then on the last night, I started to teach about how to show honor to God and how to show honor to other people around us. Actually, the Bible says that we need to honor all men. So we honor everybody. We honor kids. We honor parents. We honor our friends. We honor the non-believers. We honor our boss. We honor the pastor. We honor the president. We honor everybody. We need to honor everything around us, including the property of God, the things of God, the anointing of God, the Bible, everything about God, and honor all the people as well. You can see in the Bible that the Apostle Paul learned about this. We learn, the Apostle Paul knows about how to honor people. The first thing we learned from Thursday night, and I have not finished yet, how to honor people is to refer to people. How you talk about people. How you call people. For example, you need to call your wife, honey. And you need to watch the tone of your voice. You can call, honey! But you demand, and you did not order her. In the Bible, Sarah called her husband, Lord. She did not call him, hi, old man. Hey, you, come here. Hey, you. Call like a dog. Hey, you. No, she honored Abraham. We need to honor one another. A situation happened in Acts chapter 23, verses 1 to 3. We can learn from the life of Paul. Paul, looking earnestly at the council, said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. And the high priest, Ananias, commanded those who stood by him to strike him on the mouth. Then Paul said to him, God will strike you, you whitewashed wall. For you sit to judge me according to the law, and do you command me to be struck contrary to the law? Paul was put in jail, and he was giving the testimony why he preached the gospel. Then the high priest, the man in authority, the man with high position in that society, commanded his people to strike Paul on the mouth. And Paul was mad. So Paul called him whitewashed wall. And what happened later on, Paul realized that he was talking to the man of position. Even though that man, the high priest Ananias, did something wrong to him. He was not very ethical, in fact. He was unethical. But look at Paul's response, because Paul understood the honor of God. He said in verses 4 and 5, and those who stood by said, do you revile God's high priest? Then Paul said, I did not know, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, you shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people. Everyone say, speak. How to refer to, either behind their back or not around them, or how you talk to them or talk about them. Are you speaking evil about the ruler of our community? Or you speak negatively or evil against people around us? Honorable people watch their mouth. In fact, lately I have this more strong, the conviction and the kind of stop sign on me by the Holy Spirit. Because I find out that all these years, sometimes I say something sarcastically to people. Sometimes I say something to manipulate people. And I didn't even know. But after I have been in the fire of God, lately I got to come up with a word to say something to manipulate people to come on my way. And then the Holy Spirit on the inside of me say, you want to be honorable people? Yes. Don't say something to manipulate people. Just be truthful. Don't manipulate. Don't try to gear people toward your way. Don't say bad things. Because saying bad things is a sign of dishonor. You need to watch our mouth. As I mentioned, we celebrate the freedom of speech in America. But the freedom of speech have to go under the Christian responsibility. As a Christian, even though we have freedom of speech in America, but we should not say whatever we want. We need to say things that honor God. How we refer to people, how we refer to the things of God. We should not speak evil against any leader. Look at another example in the Bible regarding King Saul and King David. At that time, King Saul, you need to understand the story that the first king of Israel named Saul, God anointed him to be the king of Israel. But King Saul had a bad attitude. He was very rebellious. He was very selfish and very insecure. Because of his hard attitude, eventually evil spirit came into him and possessed him or demonized him. And he became very furious and very jealous against David. He tried to kill David. He sent army to chase after David, try to get rid of David. He threw a spear toward David, tried to kill him, the young man. This man was definitely demonized, full of evil spirit. But again, by rank, by position, he was the king of Israel. He was the anointed of God, but he was the bad leader. You need to understand between being bad and being anointed. Some people may be anointed, but they are not good leaders. You need to separate the issue. Look at how King David responded. At that time, David was not a king yet, but how he responded to the situation. Now it happened in 1 Samuel chapter 24, verses 1 to 6. When Saul had returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, take note, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men. Can you imagine that this man brought 3,000 men to kill one man from all Israel and went to seek David and his men on the rocks of the wide goats. So he came to the chief folds by the road where there was a cave, and Saul went in to attend his needs. David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. Then the men of David said to him, it sounds like this is a prophecy. This is a suggestion from God. Maybe it comes from God, but in fact, I believe God is testing the heart of King David. This is the day of which the Lord said to you, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seemed good to you. In other words, it sounds like God was telling David that, hey, get rid of Saul right now. Go in and the cave and kill the man. He was sleeping right now. He was resting. Just kill him. Sometimes you may hear the voice of God in that direction, but actually God is testing you. It's not really the command of God. It's just testing from God. And David arose and secretly he went into the cave and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. And he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master. At that time, David was not a king yet. Saul still has the rank of being the king, anointed man of God, even though he was a bad king. The Lord's anointed to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. David called Saul a bad king, a king full of demons, the anointed of the Lord. Sometime, I believe that God allowed bad leaders to be around us for a long time for our sake, so that he would train our character, how to respond to the anointing, and how to live an honorable life in the time of testing. God tests us by giving us tough leaders sometime. In our church here, we have leaders who sometimes get on your nerve. He may come to you face to face and say, you need to do this. And you say, who are you? You tell me this. I'm going to rebel against you right now. I mean, maybe that leader may not speak nice to you. He is not that gentle like Pastor Da. But you need to understand, you need to separate between their character and their position that God anointed them to be. And how you respond show how mature and how honorable you are. If you are a mature man and a woman of God, and you are honorable people, you will not use your mouth to fight back, to say something behind their back, to gossip about them, to talk bad about them behind their back, or even to call them some names. You need to watch your mouth. You need to be honorable people. Because when you touch them, you touch God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 13 verses 1 to 3, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. Listen carefully. The Bible says there is no authority or no leader except that they come from God. And the authority that exists are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. So God says every leader, every position in any institution is ordained by God. And again, God allows sometimes bad leader to happen to train us to be honorable people. Daniel chapter 4 verse 17. What happens if you face bad leaders or evil leaders? Number one, don't refer to them in a bad way. Don't talk bad about them. Don't gossip about them. What should we do? We should pray. We should pray for that leader. We should pray that God would do something in that situation instead of being a judge ourselves and using our mouth to judge and to talk bad about that leader. Look at what the Bible says about leadership. Daniel chapter 4 verse 17. Very powerful scripture. This decision is by the decree of the watchers and the sentence by the word of the holy ones in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. So God himself is the ultimate ruler of the kingdom of men. Any country. God rules every country. And now the key word, the key sentence is here. Give it to whomever he will and set over it the lowest of men. God said that I am the one who pulled the lowest person to become the leader of that community. What he means is that I can lift somebody up, become a leader, and at the same time, I can pull people down. If you are evil leaders, God can come and pull you down too. God can lift people up, and God pull people down. In fact, there is a good example in our midst here. If you know Pastor Noom personally, from the human point of view, it's impossible for this man to be a senior pastor of a church. He's not a talkative person, quiet. He looks very shy, very impossible to be a pastor. But God said, I will set over that church the lowest of men, the person that looks the most impossible to be the pastor. In fact, yesterday and Pastor Da were driving to some place and I think we went to Bellevue Mall to pick up the gift or something. And while I was in the car, God started to speak to me. God said like this to me. And I was crying. God said, do you know, son, that I am in the business of doing a miracle? And he said, what? Get out of my way. Get out of my way. Pastor, get out of the way. Let me go to the worst person in this congregation. To the least possible person in this congregation. Maybe come from the broken home, very depressed, want to commit suicide, poor, look like bad deal. No hope in that man or woman. But I can change that person to be very powerful servant, so that the world know that I am the Lord who can change the lowest thing to be the highest thing with my power. Oh, when I listen to that, I have hope now. I have hope for you. Do you get the message? Sometimes when I see people come to the church, I say, oh, so hopeless. So many problems. But God say, get out of your way. Get out of my, not your way. Get out of my way. Let me. In fact, God spoke to me many times. Many times, pastor just kind of tried to do everything himself. Oh, I'm the man of God. I'm going to take care. I'm going to deal with that person. Deal with this person. God say, get out of my way. I take care. I'm going to deal with that person. Your job is to preach and teach, show example, and to love and to correct people. But you don't try to change people. I change people myself. And that's happened in the camp this year. God came and touched so many people. God changed so many people. I have nothing to do with it. I'm just walk around being a vessel to impart the fire of God. And God deal with people himself. I just get out of his way. Let God do it. Amen. A smart pastor have to do that. Just let God do it. You don't do it yourself. Look at the best example in the Bible. So, God say, if you see evil leader, what you do? Pray. God can pull that person down. God may not get rid of anointing in him, but God get rid of him. The anointing is irrevocable. God will never take the anointing out of you, but if you are sinning against God, you are evil against God, God can get rid of you. Because God pull people up and God pull people down. Be careful. Okay? Now look at the best honorable example as a man who did not use his mouth to do something bad. Lord Jesus Christ, as a perfect man, as a 100% man, he was spat on, he was whipped, he was, a crown of thorn was put on him, he was ridiculed, people yelled at him, hey, if you're the king of Jew, come down here. They nailed him on the cross, he was in agony. They put a nail on his hand and feet. I believe that if this happened to you, you may call 10,000 of angels down. You may yell from the cross and curse those people and say bad things about those people. Looking at the honorable king. When I see Jesus, I'm thinking about walking on the street and a dog come behind me. Bark at me. And I walk around and the dog come behind me and bark at me and I come back. So when the dog barks, you bark back. That's what happens if you are dishonorable people. When somebody say bad thing about you, when they do something bad to you and you fight back by saying bad things, refer to them in the wrong way, you gossip about them, you judge them, you are not different from them. It's one thing about other people do bad things to you, but it's another thing about what you're going to do with your own life. When people do bad to you, it doesn't authorize you to do the bad thing with them and go down to that level. So the dog bark for me here, down there. So I go down to the level of the dog and ha, 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 like this. So I go down to the level of the dog. Look what Jesus, the King of Honor. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23, after everybody really persecuted him, talked bad about him, humiliated him, who, mean Jesus, when he was reviled, revile mean talk bad, if people just yell at him and point finger to him, did not revile in return, he shut his mouth. He didn't say any word. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him, into the Father, who judges righteously. When you see bad thing happen around, don't revile. Don't use your mouth to say something bad. Keep your mouth shut like Jesus. Let the Father, who is the just judge, take care of it. This is tough. Because our flesh, what you want to do, fight back. If you cannot fight back by pulling the gun out and shoot, because you're going to be in jail. We all are very smart people. You know, if you pull the gun out shooting somebody, you're going to be in jail for 20 years or maybe go to electric chair because you kill people purposefully. But you don't do that. You don't pull the gun out to kill somebody, but you pull the mouth out and kill somebody with your mouth. And that is dishonorable thing to do. Amen. 2 Timothy. How about I finish the referral and then next week we continue about other things. Let me try to finish here. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 3. You therefore must endure hardship as a soldier of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that as a Christian, you and I are soldiers of Christ. In other words, we have responsibility to do. And we have to take action to win the battle, to expand the kingdom of God. And in that action, we are the soldier. We take action. So many principles in the military is applied to the church. Some of us are commanders. Some of us are captains. Some of us are surgeons. Some of us are privates. We have different ranks. So in the body of Christ, God gives us different ranks. High, low. But at the same time, we are the family. So when the captains and the surgeons go back home for Thanksgiving, they all eat the same amount of turkey. When the commander and the private go back home for Christmas holiday, they both have the same amount of presents or gifts. But when they go out to take action, to do something for God, the privates have to be to honor the captains and obey the captains. In my house, when I stay with Pastor Da, we are family. Hi Da, let's eat dinner. But when she come to church and in the service, I'm not only her husband, I'm her pastor. I have the rank in this army. This is what happened in the body of Christ. Many times, pastors are so friendly and want to be friend with you, go out play tennis with you, play golf with you, eat dinner with you, and laugh with you. Kind of go out to play. Two weeks ago, I went to a party in Mercer Island Park, and we play football. Soccer. We play soccer together, and oh, I was so tired. I feel that I was old. I could not run more than 15 minutes. I have to come back and lie down. I was fainting. I was too old to play soccer with young people. And they keep going. I just play only 15 minutes. Even though the pastor make friend with you, it doesn't mean that you will not respect his rank. You understand? I know that deep in my heart, I don't mind people call me mom. Hi, mom. I don't care. But it's not good for your soul. Because you begin to get out from the army issue now. You don't honor the position of that man. That's why I never call Rodney. I call Pastor Rodney. I never call any pastor first name alone because I need to respect his rank. Definitely one-on-one at home, we eat dinner together. We say, Dr. Mom, I don't care. But if you are in the service, you are in the action to fight the battle, you don't come to me and say, hi, Mom, could you lay hand on me? And that is not honorable. Amen. Amen. I believe that many pastors are discouraged and start to pull away from people. I don't want to spend time with people anymore. If I become friend with them, they will not listen to me anymore. They will not listen to my sermon anymore because they take it for granted with me. I'm talking about pastor, not happening in this church. This church is fine. I'm just talking about in general. That many people take it for granted with the pastor or with the leadership and begin to take it as a common thing and call first name and yell and just come and point finger and do things without respect. And that is not the heart of God. We need to honor the rank in the army of God. Amen? It's one thing of being a family. We eat together, we have fun together, we play game together. But in action, we need to honor the rank. Amen? So you refer to people according to their rank. And God will honor you. Because you show honor to God indirectly by honoring the position in the institution. I'm not talking about only the church. It will be very despising if my kids call me, "Hey, mom." They need to call me dad. And no matter how much I play with them, I go down and play with them on the ground and fight with Paul, but Paul will never call me mom. Paul need to call me daddy. Because in the rank, I'm the daddy. I'm not his friend. This applies to everything in every institution. You don't go to school and call your teacher, "Hi, Jim." No, you say, "Teacher so-and-so, Mr. so-and-so." In fact, I like the culture in the south part of America. I'm going to end here. In the south part of America, people call, "Yes, sir." "Yes, madam." Is that right? And in the Bible Belt area, when people come to your home, you will go out and greet them at the door and come in. "Do you want to eat anything? I want to show love to you." And when you go out, they go and send you out at the front door and say bye-bye. This is what happened in the south part of America. People really honor each other. We should teach our kids to call our friend Mr. So-and-so, Mrs. So-and-so. I was so sad many times I see some young people come to my house. And I walk down from the stair, come down, and young people walk by me in my house. Like that. And don't even greet me. You need to teach your kids. When you go to somebody's house and you meet their parents, you should say, "Good morning, Mr. So-and-so." Should show respect to the parents in that house. I believe this is not a cultural thing. It's of heaven. It's of heaven. Honoring people is of God. Honor the parents, honor the teacher, honor the governmental leadership. Amen. You may say, "Oh, Pastor Lau, you come from Thailand. You talk like Thai people. You know, Thai people are very like this." No, this is not about Thai people. This is in the Bible. Amen. Amen. But you say, "My culture doesn't believe in this." Then teach them. Amen. Then tell them what is right and what is wrong. Don't go with the culture. We need to have God's culture in our life. Amen. Amen. Definitely. Last thing I want to say. Last thing now. As leader, we are not looking for position or for, like, "You need to, when I walk by, you need to pull back and do like this to me." No, we don't have that attitude. We love people. The attitude of leader should be servant. But at the same time, people under should show respect to that rank, how you refer to that person and talk about that person. Amen? Amen. Give the mighty hand of praise to the Lord. We have three more things to learn how to honor people. To defer, to prefer, and to confer. So we're going to continue next Sunday. These three things, I hope I can finish these three things next Sunday. I go very slowly here to make sure you get the message. Amen. This morning I would like to encourage many of you who don't know Christ, who are not Christians yet. I want to encourage you to come to know God. God loves you. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to pay for your sin. I accepted Jesus Christ into my life more than 27 years ago. And my life has never been the same. Jesus came in to help me to overcome sin. And He promised me that when I accept Him, my sins are forgiven. And after I die, I can go to heaven and be with God forever. I'd like to encourage you to turn away from your sin, getting to know God. God is real, and go to heaven with me. Very simple. This is what you do. Number one, you admit that. You accept. Yes, God, I am a sinner. I sin, I lie, I hate people, I'm jealous of people. I have a lot of wrong things in my heart and I have done wrong things in my life. I steal money from my mom. I lie to my mom and my dad, whatever. We all sin against God. And secondly, you admit that you cannot overcome that sin yourself. You're going to have to pay it one day. That's why sinner cannot go to heaven. And number three, you say, God, I'm glad you forgive me. And you send your son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for my sin. I want you to forgive me. I want my sin to be paid, the penalty of my sin to be paid by the blood of Jesus Christ, by the death of Jesus Christ. And number four, you say, Jesus, today I want you to come into my life right now. I want to start a relationship with the living Almighty God who created me. If you want to make a decision to do all these four things, I'm a sinner, I cannot help myself, I need God's forgiveness, and I want God to come into my life. It's very simple. You just pray to God. You just talk to God right now, like I did 27 years ago. I say, God, I'm a sinner. Could you please forgive me? Jesus, come into my life right now and forgive me. I start my life with you today. I pray that you want to do that today. I'd like to lead you in prayer right now, if you want to do that. Just follow my prayer. And after you pray, come out to me here, and I would like to pray for you. Amen. Pray with me. If you want to accept Jesus Christ, you want to invite Jesus to come into your heart, close your eyes and pray with me. Father in heaven, I am a sinner, Lord. I want to turn away from my sin. Lord, thank you so much for sending Jesus Christ, your son, to die on the cross for my sin. Lord Jesus, you are my savior and my Lord. Please come into my life right now. I turn away from my sin and you become a master of my life today. I give my life to you. I'm born again now and become a child of God. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.